It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello, greetings. Welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have an excellent guest, Dr. Medhat Mikhael, who is board certified in anesthesiology and pain medicine, also known as Dr. M. He has a surgical background with a master's degree in general and trauma surgery. He's been practicing for 15 years in the Orange County area and is also the director of the pain program at Hoag Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Mikhael.
Thanks, Deborah. My pleasure.
The topic today, of course, is cancer pain. And those of us who've not been diagnosed with cancer really have no clear idea what our loved ones are really experiencing at various stages in their cancer treatment. Is there a difference between bone pain and abdominal or other soft tissue pain?
There is some differences in the intensity. You know, bone pain and visceral pain or abdominal pain falls under the umbrella of what we call nociceptive pain.
Mm-hmm.
So nociceptive pain can be somatic, can be visceral. Visceral pain is when you have a viscera that have an injury or distension, or you have an inflammation. Bone pain is initiated also by nociceptors because of the stimulation or injury into the bone, or a metastasis in the bone, or a fracture in a bone. But they all fall under the umbrella of nociceptive pain. They can be variable in the intensity, so it can be severe in a certain degree of bone pain. It can be also severe, but they both feel like a dull, aching pain with a variable degree of intensity.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, perhaps you can shed some light on the subject of how to communicate with your loved ones about their level of pain on any given day so you can figure out best how to help them handle it.
Yeah, it is all about asking the right question for the patients.
Okay.
A lot of practitioners try to rely on asking a certain question regarding the score, and usually that get misunderstood by the patients.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we try to ask a lot of questions other than pain score. How much physical ability you're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
We try to put a lot of emphasis about how is the psychology, how they're handling the pain, any issues with anxiety or depression associated with the pain.
Right.
So we can have a grasp on the general image, how they are doing.
Absolutely, because I can only imagine if you have chronic pain, that would have to affect your mood.
Absolutely, it does. Usually, when the pain goes beyond 3 or 4 months, uncontrolled, most of the patients report an anxiety and associated depression, no doubt in my mind.
Right. Now, at what point, say you're talking to a patient over the phone, does a person's pain level indicate that that person should immediately get to the hospital?
When I hear that the patient pain is associated with another acute event, like, for example, if I think that this is an acute abdomen because of a ruptured viscus or ruptured appendix or possible internal bleeding, that the patient has to go immediately to the hospital. That's considered an emergency. Also, if the pain is severe to the point that the patient started having changes in vital signs, like feel like his heart's beating faster, he started throwing up, that's an indication something needs to be done intervention-wise, and this patient needs to be in a monitored situation, needs to get medications to control these symptoms.
Okay, so it's when it's in conjunction with another event.
Correct.
All right. What are the tools, we talked a little bit about this, but that we now have at our disposal to gauge the amount of pain a patient is in so that we can administer the proper amount of medication to try and thwart it?
You know, every patient is different, as you know, Deborah. You know, we tailor the medications according to the patients.
Mm-hmm.
We take the patient as a whole, and we work the patient based on the history, the background, the physical exam. Every patient can tolerate medication different than others. So the you can give a dose for one patient and then the other patient would benefit from 1/10 of the dose because of their sensitivity to the pain medications.
Sure.
There are certain medications or certain kind of pain that you don't need even to give narcotics. They are required to use certain kind of medications to control their pain. For example, if you get an acute migraine episode in an emergency setting, probably an injection of a triptan or something like Emetrix, as you know, and it's not a narcotic, can control that episode immediately, and the patient feels much better without even using narcotics. So it depends on the diagnosis. It depends on the tolerability. It depends on the full detailed history and the exam for the patients, and also addressing all the other associated conditions like medical history, like other associated anxiety that's involved, because a lot of times once you control anxiety, a lot of the pain symptoms goes down with it.
Really? That's interesting. Why would that be? What are the properties of anxiety that would cause a pain to increase?
For example, some patients, when they have pain issues related to some chest wall pain, they start panicking that they're having a heart attack. They get to the emergency room, they cleared out for any heart episodes, and once you give them some anti-anxiety medications, their pain all of a sudden disappear. They are not feeling the pain. So the anxiety exaggerated or made the pain way much worse.
And it's not psychosomatic, it's real.
It is, exactly. It is real, but the panic episode made it doubled in intensity or made it very severe. So once you control that anxiety, the pain symptoms comes down. And all what it was probably some muscular pain, some costochondritis, and it mimicked a heart attack. Once the heart attack gets cleared or gets ruled out in the emergency room, the patient feels much better.
Interesting. So other than medicines, do you use other techniques to ward off or lessen pain levels among your patients?
Yes. Actually, as I just mentioned, we study the patient and look at all the aspects that could be causing the pain. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we look at all the radiology, like MRIs, CT scans, everything's been done, and we do several interventions or procedures for the patients to control pain. So if we have somebody that has back pain and radicular symptoms because of a pinched nerve in the back, we can do interventions on the back to control that pain. So we've seen patients get admitted to the ER with an acute sciatica, an acute lumbar radiculopathy. Mm-hmm. And once we did an intervention with steroid injection, the pain is gone. Patients feels much better and they can go home. There is a lot of variety of intervention that we can do that can control pain without using medications and can shorten the stay or even avoid admission to the hospital with an acute pain episode.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, speaking of interventions, Roxanne in Rancho Cucamonga has sent us an email, and she wants to know what kind of emotional support services does Hoag offer to patients with cancer and their families?
Hoag has actually a psychologist that is available that for cancer patients we can always consult them. Also, we have a psychiatric service that both the psychologist and the psychiatrist can be involved in the patient care. They have a social workers that can work with the patients to help them to accept the fact of the diagnosis, deal with it, go through the emotion of the treatment, and help them to cope with the stress of the diagnosis as well as the treatment during the time of the treatment, hopefully until they get into the remission stage. So we do have psychologist service, we do have psychiatry service, and we do have social workers that can help to alleviate the stress and anxiety that is there during the diagnosis or during the treatment.
Good to know. Very good to know. Today we're speaking with Dr. Medhat Mikael about cancer pain and some things we can do to help keep it at bay. We thank you so much for being on the program, Doctor.
Thank you.
And thanks especially for all the good work that you do there. It must be rewarding.
It is very rewarding. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. For more information on Dr. Mikael, you can visit hoaghospital.org. And you can also listen to the podcast of this show wherever you like and tell a friend. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Stay with us in an interesting discussion ahead with Dr. Mikael. We're going to be talking about neuropathic pain and some of the things you can do to avoid that. Much more to come right here on Hoag Health Radio. Thanks for listening.